welcome to this week's edition of This Week in U2 History. I'm your host, Eric Shivers. On this week's show, we will step back into the year 1981 and visit U2's concert from May 15th at California Hall, which is now video streaming on wolfgangsvault.com. We'll review some U2 headlines and, of course, visit Gig of the Week. So sit back and enjoy the show. Back to the show. I closed out last week's podcast with a gig from U2's October tour in the fall of 1981. I'd like to go back to the spring of that year, specifically May 15th, when the band played California Hall in San Francisco. I'm sure you are puzzled as to why I'm visiting a gig at the front end of this week's show, as I traditionally leave it to the end. Well, last week on wolfgangsvault.com, the concert I'm speaking of was released in its entirety in video format. The footage shot by Bill Graham Presents gives us a glimpse into the energy and stage presence of a very early and quite punk U2. This is long before the band gets polished and becomes a tour de force, as seen later in Live Under a Blood Red Sky, which was taped at Red Rocks in Colorado. Although raw and contagious, the footage and the concert reveals the band's innocence. As they are short on material to fill a full-blown concert, they repeat three tunes: I Will Follow, 11 O'Clock Tick-Tock, and The Ocean. It was standard fare, as the band did not want to play covers. However, they had more songs in the vault because they had just released their second album, October, but they wanted to complete this leg of the tour promoting Boy. I want to dig deeper into the concert and reveal two unique inclusions in the set list. One is the addition of the song Touch, a B-side from the single for 11 O'Clock Tick-Tock, which is short on lyrical substance, but heavy on innuendo about young love and lust. It plays well inside the Boy album narrative of male adolescence. It's unique because the addition or inclusion of such song into the set list by U2 hardly ever happens. They hardly play B-sides live, but it gives them a little bit more addition to their lack of material. The second unique item is the instrumental, which is played a few songs later. It's not very punk, but pulls the curtain away and sort of gives us an idea about how Edge composes his songs on his Gibson Explorer using his Memory Man effects pedal. These precious 2 minutes of material of this instrumental gives us admission on what is yet to be heard on the thunderous songs as in Rejoice, Fire, and Is That All from the previously mentioned and released October album. U2 doesn't allow October's songs to enter the set list until June at London's Hammersmith Palais, along with a smattering of summer festival shows in Ireland, the UK, and Scotland. The full-blown tour to support the album of October commences in the fall, and how apropos, on October 1st in Norwich, England. I hope you get a chance this week to watch this archival footage from Bill Graham, who was one of U2's first believers in the United States. Again, it's U2 performing at California Hall in San Francisco, now playing on wolfgangsvault.com. Welcome to the news portion of the show. It's been kind of a slow news cycle. You know, the band came off the 360 tour at the end of the summer. I'm sure they're back into familiar confines. Happy not to be living underneath the claw anymore. They released the 20th anniversary deluxe box set of Achtung Baby. And when that came out, the band was, there were some rumors about the band breaking up, but that's long since been kiboshed by their manager, Paul McGinnis. Something to be thankful for this week in America, as it is Thanksgiving week. One story that did break on Friday on Independent.ie was the band was back in Dublin recording some parts of their upcoming album. We know there are several albums in the ether, so what album they're speaking to, we don't know, nor do we know the release date, but we U2 fans can be satisfied that the band is working on something to be released in the not-too-distant future. If you want to stay up on the current U2 news, you can follow my Facebook page. I'm a U2 fan. That's at facebook.com. And at the end of the week, we sort of culminate all those news stories and bring them to you here on This Week in U2 History. Welcome to my favorite part of the show, and that's Gig of the Week. I want to go back to November 27th, 1993, Sydney Football Stadium in Sydney, Australia. Yes, we are visiting U2's Zoomerang stop in the South Pacific, in which the band taped the show for a pay-per-view event in America that Thanksgiving. I remember the show well, as I skipped out of my annual trek back to Iowa for the holiday and hunkered myself down in the northern suburbs of Chicago, house-sitting for my aunt and uncle, who paid for the pay-per-view event so I could watch it in their media room. It had been a year and an album release since I had last seen the boys play live in Chicago. It was a thrill as I sat in the media room, reclined in the couch, and watched old familiar parts of the show and took in the new additions to the set list. As most of you know, the show the previous night was the first U2 concert without all four original members on stage. Adam was ill, and his bass tech Stuart Morgan sat in for the show. Luckily, U2 does a dry run show before a taping, and I think they gave Adam a mulligan on that night. The pay-per-view show comes off flawlessly as the band is well-tuned into Zoo TV's two-year trek around the globe. The highlight is Mick Fisto's rant about the ever-changing world and how Zoo TV has to now retire with the other satellites in the sky. It's a great closer to this remarkably creative time for the band, and I'm glad, as I'm sure we all are, to have this in our DVD collection. That's it for this week's show. For those of you listening here in America, happy Thanksgiving from This Week in U2 History. And to the rest of you, keep the needle in the vinyl grooves, and we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to This Week in U2 History, brought to you by 822design.com, a different kind of design firm. Eric Shivers is the author of I'm a Fan, How I Married U2 Into My Life Without Going to the Altar. Available at Amazon.com. Read more about Eric's memoir at imayoutubefan.com and join the conversation. Tune in next week for more U2 history.